each one here this morning. We desire your prayers. Go and turn in the book of James chapter 2. The book of James chapter 2. And before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, we know that you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that we'd have a greater zeal for your work. Father, it's good if we're always growing in closeness to you and how we follow you and even how we share you in this world. Help us to grow and mature as your people. Help us to continue to draw close to you, and we know the closer that we draw to you, that you always draw nigh to us. And Father, we pray that you would bless mightily even in the words that you've given us. Help us to speak it in the power and demonstration of your Holy Spirit, that your word could touch each of our hearts, that we could draw close to you. And Father, we ask also for your mercy to the lost. Father, they're in such an awful condition. There's so many around us, and they don't even know how deceived the god of this world, Satan, has them. That Father, he has blinded them to the truth. He has led them down paths that he declares is freedom for them. But Father, it means trouble and affliction, and ultimately it means eternal death and separation from you. And Father, we pray that you would open their eyes that they could see, and help us as your people walk before them, that we could be a light to them and an encouragement, that they would turn to your Son. For Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. In James chapter 2, it says in verse 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." And notice the context of what he's talking about here. He's saying in church to not have respect of persons. Now that is something hard for people in this world to do. We often look at people by their appearance, by so many different aspects of their life, and we choose whether they're going to be good or evil, or whether we'll fellowship with them, or invite them to church, or whatever it might be. Now there is lines. God's people is not to yoke up with the world. We're not to have fellowship with the world as far as the sins of the world and things of that nature. You know, I've heard a few Christians over the years make excuses. Well, you know, I go down to the bar with this person because I want them to know I'm a friend. You can be a friend of somebody without going to the bar with them. You can be a friend of somebody without going into sin and going into wrong with them. I don't have to take part in ungodly things to be friendly to somebody. Now, we are to be a peculiar people. We are to be a separated people. We are to be a people unto the Lord. And so we need to remember that. But at the same time, we're to carry the gospel to the lost and dying world. Now, I believe in Matthew 28, when it gives us the Great Commission, that when it says we go into all the world, there's a lot of people that says, yeah, as a group or whatever it might be, we do that. But you know that's really given to every individual local body. That we have a mission field local. We're looking also at the next community, the next place, and we're saying, where can we share the gospel there? And we're also looking at how can we expand the gospel within our nation and even into other countries. Now, if you have every church that has that mindset, you can do some powerful things. But if somebody else is saying, well, some other church will take care of that, some other group of Christians will share the gospel with them, saved person, they can witness to that person, but not me. If we let somebody else take care of the work of God instead of us, we're going to have problems. And the work of God's going to have problems. We've got to have a burden for the work of God. And when we're doing it, as it says in James chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, when we're doing the work in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, we're to do it not having respect of persons. He says, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool? Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? And notice that we become judges of evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. You know, as we go out in life, a lot of times we look at people and we say, well, this person's never going to listen to the gospel. This person's not going to be saved. I'll tell you this. There's Satanists that have been saved before because somebody cared to share the gospel with him. There's fornicators, adulterers. There's even been prostitutes, pimps, and drug dealers. And you can go on down the line. There's been many that have been saved over the years because somebody cared enough to carry the gospel to them. I even heard last year at one of our sister churches, they had a person, you know, invite somebody to the church. And when that person showed up to church, you know, they had a ring up here in their eyelid, a ring through the nose, ring through the tongue, or a ring on lips, and probably five or six on each ear, and all kinds of things. Even had a neck tattoo. All kinds of things. And you know, it's easy for churches to look around and say, well, I don't know, that's not really church material there. I tell you what is church material? What is church material? My God says that whosoever will believe. That's what the Word of God says. Now, I will preach against Christians getting tattoos. We're not to do that. But people that get saved, they've already got them. There's nothing we can do about that. Not unless somebody wants to donate a pile of money and they want to go through a lot of pain getting those things removed. It's not easy getting ink taken off of you. That's a difficult thing. And I'll say this, while some people's sins are easy to be seen, you know, there's other people's sins that might be more hidden, but they're just as bad. They're just as bad. Somebody asked me one time, preacher, would you allow somebody to come to church that had piercings all over them? I said, absolutely. Do you allow somebody to come to church that's got tattoos all over them? Absolutely. I want to be saved. I want to know the love of God. Jesus died as much for them as he did for me. What about people on drugs, preacher? Well, I'd hope they'd get off the drugs. I'd pray with them. I'd do whatever I could for them. I'd try to encourage them. And I know there's only so much that we can do. As the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. But I want to come to the water at least. I want to be invited to come. I want people that have been in the depths of sin to come. People say, well, what if this person's been in prison? What if this person did something horribly wrong? I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people in the Bible that for some of the things they've done, they would have been in prison. David had a man killed. He would have been in prison. Paul also had church members killed. He persecuted them. He sought them from city to city. Oh, he had government papers. I'll tell you this. We got evidence of even tax collectors being saved. You can even invite somebody to the IRS to church. You can invite a politician. You can think of the most wicked and vile people that you can think of. And notice the example he sets here. There's somebody that they're dressed nice. They look nice. They look appropriate, and somebody else comes in, and notice the statement, wearing vile raiment. Now, a lot of us, even the poor in our country, usually have access to a shower somewhere. But I'll tell you what, that's not the same way in every other country. And even at this day and time, there were some people that came in, and they didn't smell too good. Their clothes were old and used, and they stunk. What if somebody came in like that today? Would we want them to hear the gospel? Would we shake their hand? Would we hug them? And I have confidence that you would. But we need to ask ourselves these questions. Who do we want to come in? You know, in sharing the gospel over the years, and I've done door knocking. I've gone up and down this road before, knocking on doors, inviting people to church. And I'll do it again. The Lord gives me the opportunity. But you know what? Sometimes when you're knocking on doors, you never know who's going to hear. Who's going to listen? Who's going to come? you start knocking on doors, and my goodness, you know, some people will say, well, that person over there is white trash. That's all right. I got some of that in my own family. I tell you what, I sure would love to see them saved. I sure would. Well, that person's a redneck. Well, I definitely have some of that in my family. I tell you what, I sure would love to see mine saved. Well, I tell you what, preacher, that person's an alcoholic. That person's a drug addict. That person's got this problem. Well, who needs a physician except he that's sick? That's what Jesus said. I want that person saved. And I know that Christ can make a difference in people's lives. Christ can change people's lives. Christ can get people off the drugs. Christ can get people off the alcohol. Christ can get people out of the gutters of sin. I believe that. I've seen it. My goodness, I know it in my own life. You know what? I am so thankful that there was people in my life that encouraged me to go to church well before I was saved and before I was a preacher. And even after I got saved and maybe I had some things out of line and I didn't just walk right, they didn't say, well, you're not perfect, so don't come here. But I had people encourage me. I'll tell you this, I had to sit through some messages that were very hard to listen to at that time in my life. But I sure am glad they were preached to me. I sure am glad that I got to hear them. I sure am glad that the difference that they made in me once I saw the truth. But God can change people. Now, on the other side, you know, we got it in our country today that some people say, well, this person's got it better than me. So I look down upon them because they've got something. That makes no sense to me. I don't believe in looking down upon somebody because they don't have anything, and I don't believe in looking down upon somebody because they've got more than I do. That just makes no sense to me. But yet we live in a world that focuses on those things. Do you know in God and within His church, He teaches over and over again to not have respect of persons, that He's not a respecter of persons, that God looks at the heart of man and not on the things that men look at? Now, I'll tell you this. There's a lot of people that want to misuse that scripture and they'll say, well, God knows my heart. Your actions show what's in your heart. So don't misuse that scripture. There's a lot of people who says I can go out and look rough and sound rough and do all these other things and basically look like a sinner and act like a sinner, but God knows my heart. No, no, no. If you're actually living for the Lord, it will change you from the inside out. And there's no way that the inside's being changed without the outside having some change. If we're still looking like the sinners of this world and we're not changing anything on the outside, I'm seriously questioning what difference has been made on the inside. And I've got Bible for that. It tells us to judge a man by the fruit that he bears. But I'll tell you, when people look and say, well, that person's had an easier life than me, how do you know that? Or that person's had a harder life than me, how do you know that? See, I don't know everything about somebody else's life. Just like there's a lot of people don't know every detail about my life. There's some details of my life I wouldn't share except it was helpful to somebody in a one-on-one situation. It wouldn't necessarily be edifying for public discussion. There's some mistakes I've made. There's some things that I've done in my life, especially before I was saved. It wouldn't necessarily be edifying for everybody. But I could help somebody that may be going through that same thing to talk to them about it and say, look, I've been where you're at. I know the temptation you're facing. I know what you're going through. And here's how God helped me out of that. And here's how God helped me through this. But you know, God teaches us to judge righteous judgment. And righteous judgment understands that Christ, God, can change people. God can take a whoremonger and turn them into a good husband or a good wife. God can take somebody that has cussed and raved and had a temper and been an ill person all their life, and He can help them to be humble, and He can help them to be meek, and He can change them to where they're a great blessing to other people. God can do that. God has done that before. And we as God's people need to think like God thinks. We're to put on the mind of Christ, is what's told us in Scripture. We're to put on the mind of Christ. But if I'm looking at somebody and I say, well, I'll invite that person to church, but I won't invite this person, then I become, as it says here, I become judges of evil thoughts. You know, over the years, I get questions about being on the radio. And on the radio, I give an invitation to come. Sometimes I'll even give the address to the church here and give them the times of service, invite them to come and things of that nature. I had somebody come to me one time and said, Brother Brandon, you better be careful. You just never know, maybe the wording to use. You never know who might show up. Well, if they're willing to show up to hear the gospel and be respectful, and they come for the right reason, I want them to be here. I want them to be here. People say, oh, you know, you might get some Asian person, you might get some African person, you might get this, you know, this person that doesn't live godly, this person that doesn't look right. You might get a homosexual to show up at church. Good. Call them to repentance, every single one of them. Person can't help what skin color they got, and if we believe by the Bible, last time I checked, there was only one family that got off the ark. So we all kin somewhere down the line. There's different pigmentation. Some people are darker than others. Some people are lighter than others. But I'm going to judge somebody by how they live for the Lord. And every time I look in Scripture, I'll say this. Philip went and preached to that Ethiopian eunuch. He shared the gospel with him. And I know this for the most part. Most people want to be around other people that have the same culture and the same things. It's not really something you're going to deal with a whole lot. But if somebody came here and told me, this is where God wants me to be, I have no authority to tell them they can't be here as long as they're going by Scripture. I have no biblical right to say they can't. But I want all to be saved. I want all to come to repentance and all to believe, because this is what God desires. But a lot of times people have respect of persons. And sometimes people have even had family differences before. Well, you know, me and my family didn't get along. Well, this person did this and this person. Well, the Bible sure talks about forgiveness a good bit. Even if a person has done you wrong, wouldn't you rather have them as a friend? Wouldn't you rather have them as a brother or sister in Christ? Wouldn't you rather that God lead them to repentance and they turn from whatever wickedness they've done? And if we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, when we see people turn from their wicked ways, don't we rejoice with them? Don't we forgive others, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us? And God says if we're not willing to forgive others, He said neither will God forgive us of our trespasses. I don't know about y'all, but I need God's forgiveness. I need His mercy. I need His grace. And so when He tells me that I need to forgive somebody else so that I can receive benefits from Him, so that I can grow closer to Him, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to walk close to Him. And I'll tell you what, over the years, I've heard from some people in private conversations, and I couldn't share with you their names or even their location to try to give anything, because I have no right to bring somebody else's business and make it public. Now, I can tell you some things that people have forgiven for and leave it vague where you don't know who I'm talking about. But I've had people come to me over the years that have been raped. And I've had them tell me the hardest thing it was for me to do was to forgive that person. I've had some people tell me it took me years to forgive that person. And if you think the rape's the worst thing I've come across, I've talked to people that have family members that molested them when they were children. They still have to go and see them at family reunions and things like this. They still have to be acquainted with that person. And all that grief and all that shame and all that pain and hurt. And I've had people in those situations tell me that God told me I had to forgive them. I had to let it go. Now, if they could forgive, how much more could we forgive somebody? And you know, I've been done wrong before. I've had people cheat me out of money before. I've had people steal from me. I've had people do wrong. I've had people lie upon me, backstab, do many different things. I even had a preacher one time that tried to run me down to other preachers so that I couldn't preach at churches, so that I couldn't preach revivals. Made all kinds of accusations up. And it was still my job to forgive. Now restoration, I do hope everyone knows that there's a difference between forgiveness in our heart and restoration. You restore somebody when they repent. And there's plenty of scripture for that. But we're to have forgiveness in our heart, because if you're carrying that grudge around, it's going to hinder you. And sometimes people say, well, I don't want to share the gospel with that person because of what they've done to me. Maybe your love and forgiveness, which would be showing them the heart and mind of Christ, would be the exact thing that would lead them to Christ. Maybe God allowed you to suffer so that it could be a benefit somewhere. Because when we suffer, we remember that Christ first suffered for us, the just for the unjust. And not a one of us are sinless like Jesus was. But yet in all that He's done for us, we're to carry that to others, and we're not to have respect of persons. When we look at somebody that we'd say, well, that's a trashy person, we need to instead look and say, what would that person be if they got to Christ? What would happen if that person trusted in Christ, if that family trusted in Christ? We probably know people that mistreat their children. Don't take them to church, don't teach them. When we see their children, we say, look at that child. Look at how mean they're growing. Look at some of the language they use. I tell you what, that might be the exact child we need to stop by on a Sunday morning, or even before Sunday, let it be known ahead of time, go to that family and say, would y'all mind if we take your children with us to church? We'd love y'all all to come, first of all. But if y'all won't come, would you allow us to take the children? Look, we'll fix them lunch. We'll do whatever. We'll pay the sacrifice. I tell you, there's a lot of people. People don't realize how many parents that don't care for their own children would be glad for somebody to take them to church. And they're not doing it for the right reasons. They're not thinking, well, they'll hear the gospel. There's some people that are so sorry as parents that they just don't want to be around their children for a while. I'll be honest with you. There's people that send their kids to school, don't care about them getting an education. They look as it's some kind of daycare service. And y'all have probably seen that too. And instead of just looking and seeing the problems, we need to step in and say, can I share the gospel with that person? Can I lead them to Christ? First, try to get the parents to church. But if they won't come, say, can we bring the children? And I'll tell you this, you get that rebellious, you get that foul-mouthed kid, that angry child to Christ, and their parents can see a difference in them, it might make a difference in the parents too. But if we just sit back and judge evil thoughts and say, look at how bad they are, look at how wrong they are, look at how filthy they are, or look at how rich this person lives and they never come to church and they never do good, it's easy to look and find all the evil in the world. Let me go to the extreme with this and try to give a further example. Do y'all know what I would want to do if I met the President of the United States? There's people say, I'd love to hit him, I'd love to tell him off, I'd love to do this. I'd love to tell him about Jesus. Can y'all imagine what would happen if Joe Biden actually trusted in Christ? Or Nancy Pelosi actually trusted in Christ and repented? Can y'all imagine what would happen? And I'm not just talking Democrats either. I've often wondered what would happen if Mitch McConnell would get saved. I've often wondered what would happen if a pile in the House that have an R by their name would get saved. There's a pile of them that try to act like something, but their actions don't follow it. And I question, because of the fruit that they bear, whether they're saved. I'd love to tell them about the Jesus I know. It's easy to get angry. It's easy to have hatred. It's easy to have bitterness. It's easy to even have our own prejudices. And let's not lie, we all do. Look, when I say prejudices, there's a lot of people that don't understand what all that means. Do y'all know when I was 16 years old, I wrote something down for myself? You know, goals I had for life. I'll tell you what was one of my goals. I wanted a red-headed wife. I did. Man, I searched out redheads to date. I did. I loved a redhead I had since I was a child. Y'all know I'm not married to a redhead, because I looked for more than just the color of her hair. I looked for character. I looked for things that were more than just my preferences. And no, I've got preferences on individuals. I can relate well to country people. I can relate well to people that fish and hunt, and they've worked on farms, or they've worked with cattle. I can relate to those things. I have more in common with those things, but yet I've got to share Christ with doctors before. I've got to share Christ with lawyers before. I've got to share Christ with what we call city slickers. Look, I've got to share Christ with people that didn't even know what a grit was. And the reason that God has helped with all that is because God has taught me, you're not to look at people based upon whether you like them or not, or whether you agree with them on everything or not, or whether you like their clothing, their taste in things. I'm supposed to look at them the way that Christ looks at them. And that helps me get past a whole lot of things. And I'm not going to say I'm perfect on that. There are times in my life when I can look back and say, you know what? You didn't share Christ with that person because of this reason. And it was nothing but me. And I had become partial, as the Scripture says here. But we're to do this without respect to persons, without partiality. You know, we all have our respect towards our own family and our own loved ones. You know, I want to see my daughter saved. I want to see my son saved. I want to see my cousin saved. And I've got many other family members that I could go through. But I sure do want to see them saved. But I'll tell you what, everybody else is somebody else's son, somebody else's daughter. And if I would look at things the way that Christ looks at them, I would have a different perspective. And I would have a greater zeal to say, well, I want this person to be saved. Well, they don't look the part. No, but I didn't either. You know, I've got a picture, and surprisingly, my mama put it on, I guess she put it up when I was graduating high school. You know, they have those pictures and little film things sometimes that they run through. There's a picture of me holding, I think it was about a 15, 20-pound catfish. And I'm in a wife beater t-shirt, a Jeff Foxworthy redneck hat, and some ripped-up jeans. Now, I looked pretty rough, and I can tell you I looked rougher than that sometimes. But I definitely looked the part, especially with the sunburn I had on me. But We got to look at things differently. We got to look at things biblically, righteously, holy. People that come to church are not going to be Abraham when they walk in the church. They're not going to be Sarah when they walk in the church. And I'll remind you this, Abraham and Sarah wasn't who they were overnight either. A lot of the people in the Scripture that we hold up and we say, look at how righteous and how holy and look at the faith they had. Go back and study their life. Moses, as great as he was, he killed a man. He got angry. And you could say, well, he was defending his people, the Jewish people. He still got angry and killed a man. God helped him. God changed him. He became a different man. Paul, when he was Saul, was a hard man. Do y'all know the church was scared to death of that man? They ran from him. They fled from him. Later on, they were at his feet, weeping, because he said, y'all will see me no more. You know the reason? Saul was a different man than Paul. You know what God says He does when He saves a person? He says, I'll put a new heart within them. He says, they'll be a new creature. There's a lot of things within the Bible that there's a lot of people in this world and they say, well, I hate this and I hate that and I hate what God says here and I hate what God has over here. And there's men that hate how they're supposed to love their wives and be faithful and how they're to raise their children and how they're to turn the other cheek. There's men that hate those things. They hate reading that in Scripture. They say, well, I never want to be that. And they hate it until they find the love of God. And then they see how much God's done for them, and then they all of a sudden have a different heart towards others. There's women that read things. They say, a wife, a mother, submissive. I'm never being that. And they're angry and they hate those things. And then they meet the love of God. And then they see what's valuable in life. And they see what family is. You know, I remember a girl that I knew when she was in high school. And she used to tell people, I'm never having kids. I'm never going to be a mother. I mean, she just ranted and raved about this. Even the man that she would eventually marry, she despised that man when he first came around. He was persistent, I'll give him that. And it paid off. She had four kids. And I heard her even talk after four, saying, wouldn't hurt to have some more. What made the difference? Christ does. And I'll even say this before we close. There are some people that I've come across and I have tried. I've wept with people trying to get them to see the truth. But I've had people tell me, preacher, I've gone too far. Preacher, I can't have that kind of life. I've had young ladies say, look, I've made some horrible mistakes. No good man's going to have me. I've had young ladies tell me that before. And I've told them, you don't know what God can do. You don't know what God can do for you if you just start serving Him. I've had young men tell me, they said, look, I have mistreated women. I've been a horrible man. I've been horrible to other people's. They said, there's nothing. There's nobody that'll want somebody like me. I said, you got the humility down now. If you just get the following Christ down now, you'll be all right. See, after you show a pattern of good works, people see that you're a different person. People see that you're a different individual and it gives you a different life. It does take time. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. There's people that will remind me what I did at 15, 16 years old. There's people I cannot share the gospel with today because of that. And I pray that God can help somebody else. They won't listen to me. I'll do everything I can. I try to live a life. And I've tried to live a life for a long time where they can see Christ in me. I know there's some people never forgive. But there's a whole lot more people that will. And we need to see things without respect of person. We need to get past our own point of views, our own feelings and our own emotions. Stop leaning unto our own understanding. And we need to see righteousness. And if we could do that, we could be a great blessing to some people. Now, I'm never going to compromise Scripture. I believe in calling people to repentance. I believe that once people are saved, that they're supposed to walk in newness of life. I will preach that. I will teach that. But I'll tell you this, until people get saved, until they've got Christ in their heart, they have no Spirit of God to war against the spirit of their flesh. They will look like sinners. They will act like sinners. They will behave like them in every way, shape, form, or fashion you can imagine. Our job is to point them to Jesus. Our job is to go into all the world and to share that gospel. And while we're carrying it, we know that it can change their life. We know that it can change the road that they're on. Not only for the salvation of their soul, but even give them a life that's more abundant and free if they'd have it. We know that. It's Scripture. But a lot of times God's people, we look partially. We look with respect of persons. And we don't need to do that. We need to judge righteous judgment. And we need to have a burden for all lost souls. Whether they're rich, poor, somewhere in the middle. Whether they're black, white, yellow, green, red, whatever their color be on their outward skin. We want to see them saved because Christ died for all mankind. And He told us as a church, He said, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to preach that gospel. But I've often told people it's kind of hard to go into the world if we can't love the people that are right around us. And we need to learn to love the ones that are right around us. Well, this one's a sinner, preacher. Aren't we all? Aren't we all? But Christ came to die for sinners. He came to save that which was lost. And when Paul made that statement, he said, of whom I am chief. And that wasn't just words coming out of his mouth. He knew that to be the truth in his own heart. I was the vilest, most wretched sinner there could be because I persecuted the church. That's what he said. He said, but God saved me. And if He could save him, He can save anybody else too. Let us have a burden for lost souls. Let us carry it out. Let us invite others to come. Compel them to come. It's what the Scripture says. Judgment's coming. Let's compel them to come while we have opportunity. Let's have this zeal for the gospel to share it with others. And let's do it without respect of persons because we don't know. We don't know who God can change and what work He can do with them. I'll close with one more example. My brother used to sell cars. And he sold at a couple of different dealerships. But he told me one of the things that he learned while selling cars, he said, don't judge them by the clothes they wear when they come in. He said, I've had people come in looking pretty rough, and he said their credit score was around 800. You know, 720, 740 on up there. He said, and you have some people come in, sharp dressed, looking real nice. He said their credit score was around 590, 600. He said we couldn't get them a vehicle. He said some would even come in looking real rough, and he said they paid cash for their car before they left. I tell you what, it's easy to misjudge when we let our own respective persons get in the way. God can change people. God can make them something wonderful. God can even have them be a great warrior for Him, a great soul winner. We don't know who that'll be. All we can do is share the gospel with everybody we get a chance to share it with. Invite people to church, whoever it is. Say, preacher, I don't know if that person will come. We definitely know this. Do you know, I learned this. I can't express to y'all how scared I was of girls growing up. Girls scared me more than anything. I can jump out of an airplane. I can jump off of a tower with just nothing but a rope to hang on to and rappel down that tower. And I'm scared of heights too, just to let you know. But I could do that a lot easier than talking to a girl. But I finally got tired enough of being lonely that I said, Brandon, you're either going to die alone or you're going to have to start talking to somebody. Susan has no idea how hard it was for me to ask her out on a date. I was shaking. I was nervous. My heart rate was probably 150. I was scared to death. But you know what I came to the conclusion of? And look, I got told no many times in my life. I got told no many times. But you know what I had in my mind? The answer is always no when you never ask. People say, well, that person will never come to church. I'll tell you what, you got a 100% chance of they'll never show up if you never ask them. At least you got a 1% chance of them showing up if you at least invite them. We need to take risk. We need to have a burden and a zeal. And we need to say at least somebody is going to tell them about Christ. They might reject it. They might tell me to hush up. I might have to ask them 5 times before they'll even listen to me. But somebody, at least one person, is going to tell them about Jesus. One person's going to invite them to church. And we need to have it on our heart. That, Lord, if that one person is somebody, let it be me. We all need to have that attitude. We all need to have that burden and that zeal. And maybe God will open a door that we never imagined could be opened. Let's go by faith and let's have a burden to do what God called us to do, to carry the gospel into a lost and dying world. This is the burden God's given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, I invite you to come. We'll have a verse of a song.